I would like to begin this evening by joining with Trey and welcoming everyone here. We thank you for taking time on this beautiful day to come and worship God in spirit and truth. If you're visiting with us, thank you for coming. If you have any questions about the things you see or hear tonight, we hope that you'll ask those questions, and we'll do our best to give you a Bible answer. We believe that the Bible is the Word of God. It is right and cannot be wrong. And it is the standard by which we shall be judged in the last day. And it's a joy and privilege to assemble with the saints who work and worship here on a regular basis. In Matthew chapter 21, Jesus was confronted by some of the religious leaders of his day. And in response to their challenge, in verse 24, Jesus said, "I also will ask you one question. And if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man?" We've been beginning each sermon in this sermon series with this passage, because Jesus puts forth a question that should be the standard question for all things done religiously. From where did it come? From heaven or from man? Brethren, regardless of what the issue may be, if someone is doing something religious, something in service to God, we ought to ask that question. You know, whatever it might be, there are only two possible sources for it. It's either from heaven or it's from man. If it's from heaven, we'll read about it in God's book. It will be condoned and endorsed by Scripture. If it is from man, then there will be no scriptural authority. Tonight we're going to conclude this sermon series. And all I've tried to do is this. I've simply picked out several practices that are very commonplace in the religious world. We're not looking at anything obscure or uncommon. We're looking at things that are prevalent and prominent. We talked about denominationalism. Clearly, we would all agree that denominationalism is commonplace. Many people embrace and accept denominationalism without even giving it a second thought. But we ask the question, where did it come from? From heaven or from man? And we noted that it came from man. Then we looked at infant baptism. I was the subject of infant baptism. Many people have been baptized as babies. But we asked the question, infant baptism, from where did it come? From heaven or from man? And we noted that it came from man. Then this morning, we looked at women preaching in the assembly. That is a growing trend in the religious world. But we ask the question, from where did it come? From heaven or from man? And once again, we noted that it came from man. Well, tonight we're going to conclude this series by looking at one additional issue. Something that is also very commonplace. And that is the wearing of religious titles. Wouldn't you agree that most denominations employ religious titles? Reverend, Bishop, Father, Your Holiness, Pastor. The list goes on and on and on. In fact, some preachers get upset if you don't use a religious title when addressing them. And sadly, this trend has even crept into some churches of Christ. Well, we want to ask the question, the wearing of religious titles, from where did it come? From heaven or from man? I want to share with you a few reasons why we should oppose the wearing of religious titles. Reasons that prove it came from man. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 23. We're going to note verses 8 through 10. Matthew chapter 23, verses 8 through 10. In this text, Jesus was condemning the scribes and Pharisees. He talked about in verse 5 how they love special dress. In verse 6, special seats. And in verse 7, special titles. Well, notice what Jesus said in verses 8 through 10. He said, "But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one Father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ." Do you see what Jesus is doing there? He's contrasting the conduct of the scribes and Pharisees with the conduct of a Christian. Scribes and Pharisees, they loved to wear special clothes that elevated them from everyone else. They loved to sit in special seats that elevated them from everyone else. And oh, how they loved their special titles. Titles and distinctions that separated them from everybody else. But Jesus said, "Not so with you." In contrast to their activities, to their conduct, Jesus said, "You're not to be called rabbi. You're not to be called father or instructor." Jesus is clearly condemning the wearing of religious titles among his people. They weren't to do that. In fact, as you look through the New Testament, never once do you read of a preacher wearing a religious title. Let me just give you a few examples. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 12, Paul made reference to a very popular preacher named Apollos. Listen to what he wrote. "Now concerning our brother Apollos." Notice Paul didn't call him Father Apollos. He didn't call him Reverend Apollos. He didn't call him Holy One Apollos. He simply referred to him, lowercase b, our brother Apollos. No religious title. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 23, reference is made to another very popular preacher, a man who received two letters in the New Testament, Timothy. Listen to how the Hebrews writer referred to him. "You should know that our brother Timothy has been released." Again, no titles, no glowing, glamorous distinctions. He simply called our brother Timothy. And in 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, Peter makes reference to probably the most popular preacher, save Jesus himself. Listen to what he wrote. "And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you." Do you see the point? Apollos was a great preacher, well known in the early church. He simply called our brother Apollos. Timothy, a great preacher, simply referred to as our brother Timothy. And Paul, the great apostle to the Gentiles, wrote half of the New Testament, converted countless souls to Christ, simply referred to as our beloved brother Paul. He was never called Reverend Paul. He was never called Holy One Paul or Father Paul. Just lowercase b, our brother Paul. The wearing of religious titles is specifically condemned in Matthew 23. And we don't have any examples of it. Here's another reason to oppose it. Jesus taught that we're not to elevate ourselves. In Christ, we are all one. We are all on an equal footing, and we're not to do anything in word or deed that will elevate one upon another. Let's look at three passages in the order they appear from the book of Matthew. Look at Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. In verse 1, the Bible says that Jesus, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Notice the question was asked, who's the greatest in the kingdom? Jesus said, the one who humbles himself like a little child. Look at Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 28. Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 28. Jesus here was approached by the mother of some of his disciples. And she wanted her sons to be given special seats in the kingdom. Jesus responded, and notice what he said in verse 25. You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Notice Jesus said it won't be like it is in the world. You want to be the greatest in the kingdom? You must be a servant. And finally, back to the chapter we started with in Matthew 23. Notice what Jesus said in verses 11 and 12. After he condemned the wearing of religious titles, he went on to say, the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Honestly speaking, how can someone wear a religious title? Some distinctive designation that separates them from everybody else, and still maintain the humble spirit the Lord requires. Matthew 23:8 says we're all brothers. Remember that? Jesus said, for you are all brothers. No one is exalted above the other. Hard to do that while wearing a religious title. And then number three, it reflects a clergy-laity distinction. By its very nature, when a member or members of the congregation assume a title and wear it and are called by it, by the very nature of that act, a separation occurs, reflecting a clergy-laity distinction. And you know, as it always is with apostasy, things only evolve into bigger and greater apostasy. Have you noticed? It seems to me like there are more religious titles being added. Every time I turn around, I'm hearing of more religious titles being worn. Titles I've never heard of before. I just wonder, are they adding titles to the list? And now even the preacher's wives, in some cases, wear titles. I've heard, believe it or not, I've heard of preacher's wives being called First Lady. So now it's not just the preacher, even his wife. Before long, his kids will have a title. It ought not to be. I want to share with you a couple of quotes. Bear with me. These quotes are sad but fascinating. I came across an article on the internet entitled Clergy Etiquette. It's from an Orthodox organization, and they actually tell you how you're to approach clergymen. Listen to this. In a section entitled Greeting Clergy in Person, this is what they say. When we address deacons or priests, we should use the title Father. Bishops, we should address as Your Grace. Your Eminence is the proper title for bishops with suffragans or assistant bishops, metropolitans, and most archbishops. Among the exceptions to this rule is the Archbishop of Athens, who is addressed as Your Beatitude. Your Beatitude is the proper title for patriarchs, except for the Ecumenical Patriarch in Constantinople, who is addressed as Your All Holiness. When we approach an Orthodox presbyter or bishop, but not a deacon, we make a bow by reaching down and touching the floor with our right hand. Place our right hand over the left, palms upward, and say, Bless, Father, or Bless Your Grace, or Bless Your Eminence. The priest or bishop then answers, May the Lord bless you.
blesses us with the sign of the cross and places his right hand in our hands. We kiss then his hand. So they say that's how you're to greet a clergyman in person. In another section entitled Addressing Clergy in a Letter, here's what we read. When we write to a clergyman, and by custom monastics, we should open our letter with the greeting, Bless Father. At the end of the letter, it is customary to close with the following line, Kissing your right hand. It is not appropriate to invoke a blessing on a clergyman. As many do, may God bless you. Not only does this show a certain spiritual arrogance before the image of the cleric, but laymen do not have the grace of the priesthood and the prerogative to bless in their stead. Do you see where man has gone with this? Do you see how utterly ridiculous it's become? They actually tell you how to address a clergyman, what titles to use and not to use, whether you should bow or not bow, etc. The New Testament doesn't come anywhere close to that. And yet, sadly, many people probably study articles like that to know just exactly how to act in front of a preacher. One of the more prevalent religious titles is the term reverend. I think we all know that the term reverend only appears one time in the King James Version, Psalm 111, verse 9, where it's used in reference to God. Holy and reverend is His name. Now think about how presumptuous it is when men come along and apply that title to themselves. Reverend so-and-so. A title, a term that is used only of God in Scripture. They take and apply to themselves. Brethren, I believe with all of my heart, it's not only sinful for them to wear that title, it's sinful for us to give them that title, to say it. That is a title they have stolen from God. You know, a lot of Baptist churches use the term reverend, but as you look back in their history, I think it's interesting to note that older Baptists knew better. They knew that we shouldn't be using the term Baptist. For instance, in the Baptist Standard, April 9th, 1955, in an editorial, listen to what one wrote. Some of the words used by the Baptist of today in their preaching, writing, and conversation are altogether alien to the verbiage of the early Christians. Who could imagine Onesimus going to Philemon and talking to him about the Reverend Paul? Who could imagine Gaius writing to the Reverend John to give him a good report about the Reverend Demetrius? Yet modern Baptists use the term reverend every day in speaking of preachers or writing of them. If the Baptist of the medieval age could hear it today, they would cry against the use of this title, which has been borrowed from an ecclesiastical hierarchy that would draw a line between the laity and the ministry. When the word reverend is used in the Bible, it refers to God, for He alone is to be revered. Do you see that? The older Baptists knew better. Let me give you one other quote. In the book 50 Years Among the Baptists, written by a Baptist historian, listen to what we read. The term reverend, now in such common use among our people and all other parties, was generally very offensive to Baptists of the old school, and was seldom employed by them in common conversation, in letter inscriptions, or in any other way. Holy and reverend is His name, as a designation of the divine being, was a passage often quoted by objectors to giving reverence to men. To the deity alone, said they, reverence belongs. Surely you see the point. But isn't it always the case? The longer time goes on, the looser and looser man becomes. Brethren, Jesus condemned the wearing of religious titles. We don't read early preachers wearing religious titles.
It's contrary to the humble spirit we are to possess. And we ought to oppose the wearing of religious titles in every way we can. And let me make this point. It's an important point. Sometimes people are confused because as you look at the Bible, you do read of certain words that are used as titles. For instance, you'll see that the word bishop in the King James is right there in the Bible. The term pastor, the term evangelist, those are terms found in the Bible. But here's an important point that needs to be made. Those terms are merely designations. They were never worn as titles. You can take a scriptural designation and use it unscripturally by wearing it as a title. So it's not a matter of showing, well, right here in Ephesians 4:11, we have the word pastor. Sure we do. Biblical word. But it was never worn as a title. Right here in Philippians 1:1, in my King James, I read of bishops. Sure you do. But it was never worn as a title. Just because the word is scriptural doesn't make the wearing of it as a title scriptural. Well, let me look quickly at some arguments and then we'll conclude. Here are just a few arguments people make to justify the wearing of religious titles. Number one, they say, well, you know, the Bible says we're to show honor to the one owed honor. Romans 13:7. Sure we are. But did you know contextually, Paul is talking about civil authorities there. And even if he wasn't, even if this applied to showing honor to brothers and sisters in the church, which it doesn't refer to, you'd still have to prove that showing honor refers to bestowing religious titles. That's a stretch to say the least. Number two, some say, well, you know, John in 2nd and 3rd John was called the elder. John the elder. The elder, or as some manuscripts say, the ancient, simply refers to the fact that he was an old man. John the aged. He wasn't wearing that as a title. He was simply denoting that he was an aged man, the last living apostle. John surely wasn't wearing it as a title. And number three, along the same lines, some people say, well, you know, in Scripture, Abraham was called father. James 2, verse 21, for instance, yeah. But father simply means ancestor. It wasn't a religious title. In fact, when you look, it's our father Abraham. Or Abraham, our father. Referring to the fact that he was a patriarch. He was an ancestor. It wasn't a capital F. He wasn't calling himself Father Abraham in that sense, nor were the early Christians. My friends, the evidence is pretty much overwhelming, isn't it? If you're even halfway honest, you'll have to concede that men are out of bounds when they call themselves Father so-and-so, or Bishop so-and-so, or Reverend so-and-so. They are acting in a way that is condemned by Scripture. And as I said, even some of our brethren, I'm receiving reports that even some of our brethren are now allowing their preachers to wear religious titles. It ought not to be. This series had several aims, one of which is this. We could have looked at a lot of different issues, a lot of different practices. But more importantly, I just wanted you to get this habit before you. Whatever the issue may be, remember to always ask the standard question that Jesus asked. From where did this come? From heaven or from man? If it's from heaven, you'll find it in God's book. If it's from man, there will be no scriptural authority. Don't be ashamed or embarrassed to ask that question. It is a question that demands to be asked. It is a question that demands to be answered. From where did this come? From heaven or from man? I hope you've enjoyed our series. If you're here tonight and not a child of God, we never conclude a service without offering the Lord's invitation. If you're not in a right relationship with Jesus, why not change that right now? How can you do it?
by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, by repenting of your sins, by confessing your faith in Him, and by being immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. Or maybe you've taken those steps. Maybe you have truly obeyed the gospel, but you sin publicly. Maybe you want to repent of sin that is known by others. Repent of that sin and come forward to let us know so we can pray with you and for you. My friends, if you miss heaven, you have truly missed it all. If you're subject to the call of the gospel, don't delay. Come right now as together we stand and sing.